Hello everyone and welcome to Berlin Companion, a weekly podcast about everything you never even knew you wanted to know about Berlin. My name is Beata and some of you might know me as the woman behind the Berlin history blog called Kreuzberg Berlin Companion. Or you might know me from Twitter. Last week's episode, the seventh in this series, told the story of a ghostly railway line from Berlin-Wannsee. A line which once used to transport Berlin's dearly departed to the city's largest cemetery in Stahnsdorf, a village in Brandenburg. The train came to be known as the Corpse Train or Leichenbahn. This week, just because as I've mentioned, railways and cemeteries happen to be two of my favorite things, we will stay in the realm of both. This episode is about a forgotten burial ground, which was the last station for some and the first for many Berlin visitors. The cemetery that ended up being placed at the entrance to Berlin's oldest railway at Potsdamer Bahnhof. So join me, won't you, on another time travel expedition. This time our story takes us back to the first half of the 19th century. Modern Berlin has always been a city of railways. In fact, the pace of its development picked up immensely once steel engines and billowing clouds of steam appeared on the European horizon. Until then, Berlin had been considered interesting but rather, well, old school, with pigs often roaming the streets, with clueless night strollers vanishing in unfenced ditches, and with tons of sand being regularly swept right into the city centre. It all began to change in 1838 when Prussia's first railway line between Berlin and Potsdam was officially inaugurated and when the first Berlin railway station, Potsdamer Bahnhof, opened right outside the city gate on the road to Potsdam, the Potsdamer Tor. That would be approximately where Stresemannstraße reaches Potsdamer Platz now. Despite the disbelieving and critical voices, because like with every invention, some denounced trains to be the devil's work and or nothing but a fad, such was the success that within only a couple of years, four more stations followed. Three of them, like Potsdamer Bahnhof, outside the city walls. The only one located within the actual city was Frankfurter Bahnhof. You know it today as Ostbahnhof. The reason for building railway stations outside the city was a practical one. This was where land was still available, where it cost less, and where there was room for expansion. Coincidentally, the same principles as with the cemeteries, but minus the hygiene factor. Sometimes, however, railways and death got in each other's ways. The old Dreifaltigkeitsfriedhof, Holy Trinity Cemetery, was the original parish churchyard set up for the Protestant community of the Dreifaltigkeitskirche. The old Dreifaltigkeitsfriedhof, Holy Trinity Cemetery, was the original parish churchyard set up for the Protestant community of the Dreifaltigkeitskirche. The Holy Trinity Church was one of the best-known old Berlin churches. It stood in today's Berlin Mitte, on the junction of Grinkerstraße, Mauerstraße and Mohrenstraße. And if you want to find it today, you must look not up, but down. Its silhouette is marked on the ground in front of the North Korean embassy, which stands where approximately half of the bomb temple used to be. So now that we know where the church was, you can probably guess why they had to set up their burial grounds away from it. It wasn't exactly next door either. To get to the first burial site, mourners had to cover a distance of 800 meters. They had to walk or ride outside the said Berlin city gate, Potsdamer Tor, because this is where the cemetery opened in the early 1740s. It was a quiet little place surrounded by fields, gardens and a sprinkling of houses. Bucolic could be the word. It's actually hard to believe looking at Potsdamer Platz today. But thinking ahead, the parish expanded its property by buying several surrounding plots. To no avail. The cemetery, pardon the phrase, never really took off. For some reason, which is not exactly clear today, perhaps something to do with access roads which might not have been open to mourners, perhaps something to do with planning for the future, parish members prefer to use the burial ground south of another gate, Hallischestor, on the other side of the ditch which later became the Landwehr Canal in today's Berlin-Kreuzberg. Even though this graveyard, too, was considered second best, as the soil there was quite soggy. The Landwehr Canal had not been built yet, and the unregulated Schafsgraben, or sheep ditch, as it was known then, tended to flood the area in spring. This lack of interest could also explain why the first funeral at the cemetery outside Potsdamer Tor only took place in 1750. The honor went to one Maria Elisabeth Balzer, wife of a Berlin, yes, schnapps manufacturer. Time went by, Berlin grew, and its infrastructure developed accordingly. At the beginning of the 19th century, Prussia, always with an eye to what England and France were up to, decided to give the railways a try. And this is when the burial site outside Potsdamer Tor became a dead weight for Prussian railway planners. In 1838, when the original station opened, there was still enough room between the departure hall and the graveyard. But in 1872, when Potsdamer Bahnhof reopened after undergoing major refurbishment and becoming the station most of us would know from historic photos of pre-Second World War Berlin, the cemetery was literally at its door. To be precise, right to the left of the main entrance when entering the building. What's more, the shape of the cemetery plot was part of the reason why the station's architect, Julius Ludwig Kwasowski, had to slightly tilt its front facade instead of following the line of the street. But only a few visitors whose trains arrived at the new Potsdamer Bahnhof were aware of the fact that the first thing they'd see in Berlin would be a graveyard. The cemetery was surrounded by a wall, which gave the site an air of a small park or a garden. For quite a while, the cemetery's direct neighbor, a popular flower shop known as Mutter Michaelis Blumenhalle, thrived, selling flowers to both greet the arriving living as well as to bid farewell to the dearly departed. Soon enough, however, the small burial site got in the way of the next big project, the underground railway. Berlin's Hochbahngesellschaft, Berlin's famous U-Bahn system, was in fact born mostly over the ground. The company responsible for building the new line from today's Warschauer Brücke to Potsdamer Platz planned its last section as a subterranean tunnel. So the last station on this line had to be designed in a way which would not disturb the eternal peace of the dead. So Siemens and Halske, the company in charge of the construction, and the partners chose to adjust the plans and just make sure that the station exit did not end up among the graves. Instead, it ended up almost right at the cemetery wall. This situation changed less than 10 years later, when the line, which is today's U2, was extended towards Spittelmarkt. In 1909, the old burial site at Potsdamer Bahnhof stopped being used for new internments altogether. Dreifaltigkeitsfriedhof survived for an astonishingly long time. Even though in the meantime Berlin exploded in size and plans to redesign the plaza before the Potsdamer Bahnhof had been ready still before the First World War, that war effectively prevented all of these plans from being realized. German Imperial Railways, the cemetery site's new owners, could not begin to remove the graves until 6 years later, in 1919. The final nail to the old cemetery's coffin was hammered in 1922, when the site ceased to be a burial ground altogether. The 2.5-meter cemetery wall was torn down, tombstones removed, and the old trees were felled. Eventually, the cemetery vanished like a ghost. With all the refurbishment that Berlin underwent willy-nilly in the course of the 20th century, it's not easy to see the cemetery's exact location using just your inner eye. That's when old maps can do the magic for you. Take, for instance, the 1846 Zelter Plan. Here a little tip. Berlin maps are usually named after the authors. This one was created by a brilliant Berlin cartographer, Johann Christian Zelter. In case you don't have that map at hand, you will find a link to the right section of it in the show notes. You can also study the graveyard's precise location if you look at the photos of Berlin's Potsdamer Bahnhof taken in 1936 before Berlin Olympics. In August that year, the site, which by then had been converted into a small green, was filled with masks carrying national flags of countries participating in what came to be known as Hitler Games. Less than a decade later, not only the cemetery, but also the railway station and the bustling Potsdamer Platz would become victims of those games, and they would turn into ghosts themselves. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode of Berlin Companion Podcast. Don't forget to leave your rating on your podcast streaming platform of choice and perhaps tell your friends about the show. They might want to learn new things about Berlin too. You can also support the show and help cover the costs of its running by clicking the link in the show notes or using the Buy Me a Coffee button. And I will be returning next week with the one but last episode in this series before our summer break. Until then, I'll see you in Berlin.